You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Hallelujah. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we've called for a lot of years Raising the Standard. So we welcome all you to this program. We trust that you'll be blessed with what you hear. As we tell you every week, it's not about us. It's about His Word, right, Pastor Donna?
That's right.
And so Donna and I are honored to be here with you on another Saturday. And we're coming into a season now. We're already in the month of Kislev, so we're only a few days away. We're going to be talking about a time called Hanukkah. So we thought we might today begin a little bit and talk about some things about Hanukkah and the significance of it. And a lot of people think, well, that's a Jewish thing. That doesn't really matter with a Christian. But there's so many prophetic implications in this to show us even the timeline of the last days and what God's going to accomplish and do, because it's a very prophetic book, even though it was not one of God's appointed times that He had put in place. But He remembers what happened at that time, just like He remembered what happened at Purim, didn't He? When the Persians, what they did and all that. So He remembers those things, even though it wasn't something He laid out, but He knew it was going to be there. So He uses the timing and the season of all that to teach us something valid for even today. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Learn something, take a note or two, and it should help you to encourage yourself and anyone else you might want to be talking to about the season we're in. We talk about Christmas all the time, but I think Hanukkah is so important, you know. And so we're going to release ourselves to say what God wants said. We hope you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. So Pastor Donna, you got a couple announcements you want to make, maybe?
Sure. You know, it's a time of dedication.
Sure is.
And also a time of rededication.
That's it.
It's so important that we seek the Lord's face and see, is there anything that we need to dedicate anew to the Lord? Amen.
That's right.
Well, I do want to mention that we're here in Stuart, Florida, and this radio broadcast is also on the internet.
It's Hallelujah.
All over the world, amen. It's on WCNO.com, and you can just go there, and you can I have it on my telephone, and you can download it. It's 24/7. They have music and teaching all day, all week, and so we're on every Saturday. You can just go and find us on Saturday at Raising the Standard at 12 o'clock noon, so you can listen to this again if you so wish to do so. And so that's a blessing. And we also have services here in Stuart, Florida. We meet, we call it meeting with God. We want to meet with the Lord and be in His perfect will and timing for our life and for those
truly, and to truly worship Him. Yeah.
And for those that minister with us, amen. So we meet on Friday nights. We have a Shabbat service on Friday nights at 7 p.m. And we come and we honor the Sabbath. We're not, what would I say?
Well, we're not legalistic about
legalistic
a lot of things,
about it,
but we
no,
honor it.
But we honor the Sabbath because the Bible says to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. So
that's right.
We need to remember that and honor the Sabbath. And we also honor the first day of the week,
Hallelujah.
Which is the day that Yeshua, Jesus, came out of the grave.
Hallelujah.
He rose from the dead and after 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so that's we honor the Sunday, the first day of the week as well.
That's right.
And so that would be on Fridays at 7 and on Sundays at 11. a.m. So come and worship with us. Come worship God with us, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen.
That's right.
I want to give our phone number in case somebody would like a call, they'd like to talk to us, or would like to pray, wants to pray for them, or perhaps they would like to send an offering. We certainly could use an offering. We'll say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Hallelujah. We love them much. Yes.
Amen. And so the main part of the building is up, and all the things that need to go on, you know, the structure. But the next thing now is the roof.
Roof, hallelujah.
And the roof is going to be, you know, roofs are not cheap. So, and Roscoe's doing nearly all the work.
He's going to make all the struts even himself.
So, yes, he is. He's making all the struts. So, and, you know, keep them in prayer. That would be Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros Island, building
the Temple of God.
Building a church called the Temple of God. And they are having services in there now. They have a temporary structure that's in part of the building. So, a temporary roof. So now they need to put the authentic roof on, which is going to withhold any kind of hurricane or anything else. And the building that they have now, it's all, in fact, the people that come and they have to check it and make sure it's up to code. They say there's not a building built structure-wise as good as that building is. And it has taken both those storms without nothing touching it. And so they said, you know, this is the best building that's on the island. So we just, you want to give God your best, right?
That's right. Roscoe does.
And so they need finances, and we support them. That's our church as well, you know. It's part of us, you know. They are. And so that we're financing and helping them put that church up. Probably most of the 90% of it is coming from the ministry and from those who give. So we just thank you if you could give towards the helping to get this building finished and get the roof on.
Yes.
God, give God the glory, because He will get the glory, and you will be blessed by it and receive rewards in heaven. Amen.
Right.
Or maybe here on earth.
Hallelujah.
Only God knows. But it's a good work, and it's a godly work, and it's called the Temple of God on Andros Island. They're actually on Conch Sound. They blow the conch shell.
That's right.
So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
Amen. We bless you today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm thinking about Roscoe and Audrey again. You know, the only thing holding this building up is finances. And they got a pure heart. They're willing to work. And so if you're led to send an offering in and mark it on the check, just put it on there for Andros Island, you know, the Temple of God, and we'll make sure they get it. And we help them as much as we can.
You know, every time we get money in, we put it in their bank. If it's $300, if it's $500, whatever it might be.
I just put $50 in that came in.
Whatever
it is.
You know, it's spent in order to get wood.
That's right.
And all the supplies have to be shipped to him from here, from the States.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have the supplies that he needs over there. So they all have to be shipped to him. And so, you know, the minute he gets finances, I mean, he gets it. He orders it.
Whatever he can buy
there on the island, he buys. He had to buy the rocks for the concrete and all that. But, you know, like the wood, that's going to have to come from here, from Lowe's or from one of these places that he orders the wood from. So, you know, be diligent. If the Lord speaks to you, be quick to obey.
And I just had this thought, too.
Quick to obey. I just got that word.
Quick to obey.
We need to be quick to obey the word.
But the other thing is, if you want your finances to put in some good soil, there's a lot of things you can put it in. But I'm telling you, this ministry over there is pure. I mean, it's dedicated to God. And I'll tell you, if you put some finances into that ministry, you're going to reap a great reward. Maybe not in this life, but you might in this life, as Pastor Donna said.
Amen.
But you will in the future. And I'll tell you, it's good soil. It's going to produce, and it's going to increase things in your life as well. And so we just encourage you to support them if you can.
Amen. And also for this radio broadcast.
This
radio broadcast is not free, and we have to pay for it every month. And so if you enjoy this radio broadcast and you want to help to support it, feel free to do that. We certainly could use the finances. So we give God the glory, and we trust Him that He's going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But, you know, God uses obedient people.
He sure does.
He does. Amen.
If you're willing and obedient, what? He's going to eat the fat of the land. The Bible says you're going to eat the fat of the land. The best, the good.
You will get the best. That's right.
So it tells you to do something, you do it. Yeah.
Blessed because that's they right. have been a blessing to this ministry and I'm sure to others as well.
That's right. Like when God told us about this radio program 20 years ago. Well, I thought, well, that's just more money we got to spend and all that. But that's required. We know that to have the money. But the Lord said, I want you to do it. So we were obedient. In fact, we started on our anniversary, July the 8th of that year. And so of 1997. So it's been 20 years.
Okay? 20 years.
That's right. And so we said, all right, Lord, we're going to do it. So we've been obedient. So we've been on this program now with you. It's been listening all the years, hopefully, for 20 years plus. And we thank God for that, the privilege to give you things out of the Word of God that you don't hear a lot of places. But
and many times people will call us or they listen to us. Maybe they listen to us once a month, maybe every week. Maybe they catch us on the radio as they're driving to go to the store somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe you have never called or you've never given anything. Well, ask the Lord. He'll tell you.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting when we had the Bible marathon, you know, some people popped in at the Bible marathon.
Yeah.
That had been listening to us for years, and we had never met them, or even talked to them on telephone, but because they heard about us, they heard about the Bible Marathon, they heard us on the radio, they came by. So I just thank the Lord for that. You know, you never know the people that you will minister to, because many times you don't hear from them.
Only heaven will tell. That's right.
So we're going to talk about dedication, and this is a good time to dedicate. Well, every day we should dedicate our lives to the Lord, but this time is a special time because this all happened during a time of destruction. You know,
terrible.
And at a time of destruction when there was holy things going on in the temple, you know, because it was during a feast of the Lord that this destruction happened when people were worshiping God. And Pastor Gene's going to share that in a minute, so I won't jump way ahead.
That's all right.
But the point is, there was a battle, and it was a battle with the family that loved the Lord, and they were called the Maccabees. And there are two books called Maccabees, Maccabees 1 and Maccabees
right.
2.
It's not in the canon, but it's a history book, just like we quote things out of Josephus' writings and all that. It was a history book.
And this family rose up and they took the sword and they became warriors for the Lord, and you know there weren't a lot of them.
That's right.
But it was a battle that God caused them to win because
He was on their side.
He was on their side, and when God is on your side, you know we're going through a battle. Pastor Gene and I are going through a battle. Everybody's going through some kind of a battle, but when we put the Lord first and we do the Lord's work and what he's called us to do, you know, God is going to be back. He's going to back us and he's going to be there to support us.
Sure.
And he was with Israel. And so at this time when they destroyed the temple, actually, and they did terrible things in the temple, and they even got the Jewish people to do these things. You know, a lot of times negative people will say things and they collect more negative people.
Right.
And what I read about the Jewish people is, you know, when this happened and they came, a lot of them, they joined in with this stuff, doing these parties and doing these ungodly things.
That's right.
And they joined in. So they turned away. Really, they turned away from God. But there's some that don't turn away from God. But I think about even now, you know, there's things that happen in people's lives that the enemy wants to bring destruction. Well, we know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
It says that in the book of John. And so that's exactly what happened then. He wanted to destroy the worship, the true worship that was in Israel, this true festival that was going on during that time, this feast. And so he did a good, the enemy did a good, he made a mess of things.
That's right.
But you know, because of this battle and these Maccabees, they were able to dedicate and rededicate the temple.
That's it.
And cleanse the temple. So
that's right.
You know, who's the temple now? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we need to be cleansed, and mm-hmm. we need to be cleansed of anything that's not of God, of our, you know, our thoughts, our attitudes, whatever, our actions, and so you know, when people start to join in to do things that are wrong. It draws. It's like, you know, rotten things will draw flies.
Yeah, and bugs.
The flies, that's a picture of the devil.
Right.
The devil wants to work in people's lives. He does, but God wants to work. So,
that's right.
But if God's people will humble themselves and do what it says, you know, if he says, if my people will, you know, will pray and humble themselves, you know, and seek God's face. Only when we seek God's face and we hear from His Spirit will we be able to do what God's called us to do. Because when we decide to do things on our own,
get out of our feelings, right?
And we make right.
And our emotions.
And we make our own choices, and they're not God's choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will cause it can cause destruction in our lives.
That's right.
So let's talk a little bit about the Maccabees and about Israel and the time that was what was happening in those days.
So this whole program, our premise of our program all these years is was called Raising the Standard.
Raising
the standard about Israel. We've been robbed of our Jewish roots, and we're thinking about Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
When did Antiochus Epiphanes, this despot god, or he thought he was a god, that came out of the Grecian Empire, he was a Seleucid. What did he do? He picked the most joyous time on the Jewish calendar at Tabernacles. You can prove it in the scriptures. It happened in Tabernacles to stop all the Judaism that the Jews were allowed to do. And there was like over 40,000 people wound up being killed and
all their true worship.
All the true worship was stopped. And you think about it. Out of all those people, there was only a handful. I think it says in the book of Maccabees, there were like 200 or 300 men that decided to do something about it.
Where were the rest of them?
Where was the rest of them? We have this in the church. Where are the ones that are standing up? Where are the ones that are standing in the gap? Where are the ones that quit jumping around from church to church and all? Where are they at? Where are these people at that want to help and do something for the kingdom of God? Well, the Maccabees, you know, Judah the Maccabee, he was the one that stood up with his brothers and started all this. And so they ran to the mountains. Think about this. They did this. And it took 3 years with, like I call, like guerrilla warfare, battling with the Seleucids and all that. But you know what? God was on their side, and they took that city back and rededicated the temple for God's glory, and they began to worship, and they chose to do it on the exact same day that everything started at Tabernacles. That's when they put everything back. All the ceremonies they did at Tabernacles, they began to do it at Hanukkah.
But not the same day.
Not the same day, but I'm talking about the ceremonies that were going on. They put it all back in place again to think about what God did at that particular time.
They did it the same way. Same number of days.
Exactly.
Same number of days.
So we got parallels here between Tabernacles then and what? And Hanukkah.
They reestablished what was being destroyed.
Destroyed, that's right. So Tabernacles was a time called what? The Festival of Lights. That was one of the ceremonies that happened. Well, what happened in Hanukkah? It also began, it started with what? A Festival of Lights, basically, because they had to have enough oil for the menorah to burn for 8 days. Well, Tabernacles lasts for 8 days, okay, counting Simchat Torah. Well, here we have 8 days again with Hanukkah. And so the Maccabees, they found enough oil, what, to light enough candle, they thought, enough oil, I should say, for the candle to last for what?
Candelabra.
Yeah, 1 day. Well, what happened? God miraculously, every day, it continued to burn until they had enough time to
make
the
oil. For 8 days.
Well, that's the miracle. Here's the parallels. And here's another beauty about this. Yeshua, God chose, this is amazing, God chose to have Yeshua conceived, you can prove this in the scriptures, at Hanukkah. So then we go the 280 days in the future, okay, when he was conceived, we come to the what? The festival of what? Tabernacles, and this is when he was born. So it's all here. God's put it all together to teach us about the Messiah. And when he says something, puts something in place, we can bank on it, we can depend upon it, and we can trust. And so if we can walk with God, hear his voice, the things he tells us to really do that's sincere with him, what he wants done, if you follow what he's showing you, you will be a success at it.
So if we look down the history line, we can see that the enemy was trying to, as he did all through the Bible, was trying to destroy the seed.
Absolutely.
Of the Messiah, of the woman.
Yeah.
And Mary conceived on the 25th of
Kislev.
And so it wasn't December that he was born in. No, she conceived at that time, 25th of Kislev, and then she, like you said, she had the child at the same time, on the same festival, which was Hanukkah. But see, it's not in the Torah, because it happened afterwards.
All these things
happened afterwards. What, only a couple hundred years before Jesus was born, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so she conceived at that time, and then, like you said, Yeshua was born on the first day. We believe Yeshua was born on the first day of Tabernacles.
Right.
And Tabernacles lasts for 8 days.
He's circumcised.
And so he was circumcised on the eighth day.
Simchat Torah.
Eighth is
Hallelujah.
New beginnings. And that's called Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah.
In the Torah.
And we know who the Torah is.
That's
Yeshua
right.
is the Torah.
Absolutely.
The Torah is not just a book. It's
that's
not
right.
just the first five books of the Bible. No, the Torah, Jesus is the Torah. And so he is the Word of God. Well, John, in the New Testament, in the book of John, the very beginning, it talks about Jesus being the Word.
That's right.
He is the Word. And so the Word is the Torah. So he is the Word. He is the living Word.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the enemy all along, and that's his plan, is always to destroy the seed.
Mm-hmm. That's
the
right.
godly seed.
That's right.
Because, you know, had he destroyed that, mm-hmm. where would you and I be?
That's right.
But we know that God is all wisdom and all power, and he always, God will always raise up a man or a woman to do the work that he has, that needs to be done to fulfill the destiny and to stop the plans of the enemy.
Sure.
Now, sometimes it looks like the enemy's won, but we can, if we will just have patience.
Trust God.
See, you can't earn patience.
Yeah, that's right.
Patience is a gift. You have patience. If we just have patience, then we will, and practice it, patience. You do have to practice patience.
Yeah, many times you do. Yeah,
you
probably do.
Practice patience.
Yeah.
And so if we will just, and trust the Lord, and if we have to, and we trust the Lord, you know, we're going to see how he's going to take something that looks like total destruction and turn it into a blessing.
Absolutely. So okay. it's an incredible.
So these people that did this, from what I understand in history, at first they were really good about with the Jews. They let them do their celebrations and all, and then this Antiochus, is that his name?
Antiochus Epiphanes.
When he had, then he decided to stop all Judaism.
He wanted to take over.
He stopped everything. He stopped their Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
He said they couldn't worship on the
Anything
Sabbath.
Anything involved with Judaism, the Jewish people. Yeah.
And so there was a time. He had to wait till the right time to go in there and destroy that. He had to wait till the Feast of Tabernacles. When he went in there and stopped that, I believe you, don't did you say it was the first day of Tabernacles? When he stopped the worship in the Tabernacles.
If you can figure it out in the Bible.
You know, he destroyed everything in there. And he put a statue of himself. He said he was going to be worshipped as God, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, and also, from what I've read, that they killed so many people. Men,
thousands of people
women,
were killed.
Babies.
That's right.
They killed so many people in the street.
Right.
And they sacrificed, you know, a pig. And they sacrificed
On God's altar.
Unclean animals in on God's altar. They did everything to defile.
Everything
they could
Stop
think of.
Stop anything that was involved with Judaism.
The
right.
temple.
That's right. So he was a wicked man. And we think of, here's a parallel to Jacob's trouble that's going to come. And people don't think about this as much.
Mm-hmm.
When the tribulation, we call it tribulation, but when Jacob's trouble starts, it's going to come under a sign of peace to start with for the first 3.5 years, just like Antiochus did, okay? And then what? At the mid-time of Jacob's trouble, all hell's going to be released because the false Messiah is going to come in and stop anything that's involved with Judaism. The same thing that Antiochus Epiphanes. Now his name Epiphanes means God manifest. He thought he was God in the flesh. And so we have a lot of people today in the world, and we have it in America. People think that they're the Messiah, right, Pastor Don? There's only one Messiah. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we have all these parallels teaching us when all this is going to happen and why and what's behind all of it. We know it's the enemy all the way. HaSatan. He's the one that's coming to stop everything that God's trying to do at this time. So we have all these patterns, and we mentioned up front, you know, Hanukkah was not appointed time by God, but this event happened, and God doesn't forget one thing that a group of people or a nation or a kingdom will ever do against his people. He will bring the revenge. He will take care of it. We don't have to do it. He'll take care of it. And we see all this with it, with this appointed time
so,
in his eyes. Not
so,
in our...
so Hanukkah is really a connection of the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right.
They're like mirrors.
That's right.
Facing each other.
Bookends,
right. They're identical in what they do.
That's right.
You know. And so Hanukkah is that reestablishing and look what God wants to do now. He wants to reestablish the truth.
the truth.
And that's why we're on this radio broadcast. We're raising the standard. We want to bring the truth
to the listeners.
To the listeners. Now, people will say, well, Hanukkah is a Jewish thing. It's not just a Jewish thing. It's not. It's a God thing.
That's right.
And it has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, which was, it's called the Feast of the Lord. If you go back and you read about all the different feasts, it doesn't say the Feast of the Jews or the Feast of Israel.
It's a feast
it
of
says
the
Lord.
Feast
of the Lord. Yod Hei Vav Hei.
That's right.
And so Hanukkah is, to me, I see it, it's a connection.
That's
and
right.
You know, it's a mirror image of the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're really not starting a new feast. No, it's completing a feast that was broken. It was like a covenant that was broken. See, covenants have been, people break covenants all the time. Somebody
really?
make a covenant with you or with a church or a marriage covenant, and people break covenants all the time.
Yeah.
So, but God is not into broken covenants, and God doesn't honor broken covenants at all. But there are broken covenants. But see, but God does honor when you rededicate and you
come back
and you keep that covenant.
That's right.
So you come back, and so this is like a reestablishment or rededication of a broken covenant. And we know, you know, the enemy is always into broken covenants.
Oh, yeah.
In one way or the other. You
or
know,
commitments
because,
that people make.
Right.
You know, they'll try to
and
change
so,
it.
That's right. So we need to realize that the enemy, he uses situations and just many, many different things we get mentioned he uses, you know, but we don't need to talk about that. But he used here, and at this time, he used this Feast of Dedication because this feast has to do with the birth of Christ.
Right. Well, how about this? There was another dedication way back with the temple. When was that done? During the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? In Solomon's day. And I thought about this while you're talking. We're talking about Hanukkah when Christ was conceived. Think how many years earlier. Hundreds and hundreds of years before the tabernacles was established. And when they went all those years, mm-hmm. and then God used that tabernacles and also Hanukkah to talk about his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, that was brought into the world, conceived by Mary, by the Holy Ghost, okay, and how he was dedicated all that. At
and God knows the time.
Hanukkah.
See,
so
we look at time as it would be linear.
That's right.
Like a line, okay? Uh-huh. If you see a timeline and on something where they're showing it, they'll show a line timeline of when things happen. But God doesn't look at a timeline that way because God is cycles. So God it's always in a cycle. It's like it's going around, a circle.
That's right.
It always returns, you know, it always goes around and it always comes back to the same. Hanukkah is always on the 25th of Kislev.
Always.
Whether
yeah.
it would be on a Tuesday, a Sunday, a Thursday, whatever day, it's the 25th.
25th it starts.
And the same with all the other feasts. And you know, and God always goes by how he set things up in the beginning.
That's it.
With the moon and the sun and the stars and the planetary system, everything mm-hmm. has its place in the cycle.
That's right.
And as we have a place in that cycle, in a cycle of our life as well.
That's it. We sure do,
mm-hmm.
and we're on that timeline as well, you know. So we use timelines in my book I wrote. I got charts that we made that shows you the timeline and where something starts and how long before that. Here's a good example. Daniel chapter 9 reveals that when Yeshua was cut off, mm-hmm. the prophetic clock, not time, the prophetic clock for Israel was put on hold, waiting for that what? That last 70th week to come, which is we're talking about Jacob's trouble. So that's a timeline. It's been waiting. But soon that timeline is going to come to the conclusion of the time that God has and what's going to happen. He's going to turn the clock, the prophetic clock, on again for Israel, which will be those last 7 years, which is Daniel's 70th week. It's all revealed in Daniel chapter 9. And so that's a timeline, okay?
Well, and God knows exactly when
exactly
that's going
to happen.
But we've got to get away from thinking. We have to put things on a timeline to see dates and things like that, but we ought to also remember that God doesn't set timelines, he sets appointments.
That's right.
He has
appointed times,
and his calendar is entirely different than our calendar. He has a prophetic calendar, or would you call, or you say a religious calendar?
I don't like religion. I like to, because religion will kill you. I talk
prophetic.
About the prophetic calendar when he changed what the calendar and over in Exodus chapter 12.
So he has a prophetic calendar.
That's right.
And so, and everything is according to his appointed time.
Absolutely.
That's why we need to know about the Feast of the Lord. And your book that you have here right before you that you're looking at Hanukkah, which you haven't gone into yet, is all about the Feast of the Lord. And so we're really not going to know how things are going to work out in the law at the end unless we know something about the Feast of the Lord and something about the Jewish language and something about the Hebrew letters and what they mean.
Everything. Everything's,
you know,
important.
Everything that God has put in place. So, you know, but the church doesn't, most of the church knows nothing about the Feast of the Lord.
And they're not interested in learning anything.
And because they've been taught a church mentality,
right.
They haven't been taught the facts, the truth.
The prophetic reality.
Prophetic reality.
That's right.
And because God's feasts are always there, whether you're a Jew or you're not a Jew, you know, if you are born again, if we're born again, and we have come into the household of Israel.
That's right.
We've been joined. We've
been grafted
too.
In, right.
We're grafted in. So these feasts of the Lord, and we need to get away from the thought of them being the feasts of the Jews.
That's right.
Or just
they're
Israel.
They're God's plans.
It's God's plans, and God's plans continue, and they are in a circular rotation.
That's right.
And they come about every year.
Every year.
At the same time,
same
day. Days, same whenever there's, you have to look at the moon. You have to find out when there's a new moon. So, you know, we know Yeshua. He died on a full moon.
That's right.
He's a fullness. That's the only one feast that comes on a full moon that I believe, that I know of. The rest of them, you know, with the new moon. God is good.
Another thing I'm thinking about, we're talking about the prophetic clock being turned off for Israel. How about the church? It started in Acts chapter 2, okay, and we're on a timeline, and it's been running all these years, and soon, when the resurrection comes and the catching away, guess what's going to happen? Our time clock prophetically is going to end because we're going to go to heaven. But there'll be stuff going on the earth. It's going to affect the entire world. And so that's when our clock will stop, and we'll be in heaven for those 7 years. But when ours is stopped, Israel's is going to be turned on. And at the end, we're all going to come back, and we're going to be on the same timeline at the end. Isn't it amazing what God shows with this? It's so clear, I think, to show people where we're at. Now, we know for sure that we're getting very close to the end of these days. And so, could it be this coming year? Could it be 5 years from now? When will it be? Well, you know, we've been talking about the Shemitah a lot as well. There's something very significant and important about the next Shemitah that comes in the year that it comes on. And so God puts all this in place to teach us, but we have to have somebody to teach us and let us understand it. And so this book I'm talking about, I've called it God's Prophetic Calendar all these years. And it's pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the festivals of the Lord, not the Jews. This is the plans of God, and it all fits together like a glove. Everything fits together like a glove. So it's not so confusing, but we got all these different thoughts today being taught. Well, he's going to come back here. He did this, he did that. We got all this. Well, we're already in the tribulation period, all the stuff that we're hearing. Why don't we just go by the Word of God and look at his timeline? We're not quite there yet, but we're getting very close. But I'll tell you, when Jesus died, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that you died for us. That prophetic clock was turned off. History went on, but the prophetic clock for the nation of Israel is getting ready soon to be turned back on again. And watch out what's going to happen. You talk about judgments upon the earth. It's going to be amazing and incredible. And if we don't know the Lord and we're not prepared and we're listening to all the other stuff that we're hearing, well, we're going to be confused and some people's going to be left behind because they're believing a lie and not the truth. So what we're talking about, this is all true. Everything we're telling you right here, by the way, is in the Word of God, isn't it, Pastor Donna?
Yes, it is.
Now, some of it's hidden. You got to dig in. There's sodes in there that we need to look at, hidden mysteries, but they're in there.
And this book that you have available for people for $25 plus shipping and handling, they can learn all about the Feast of the Lord, and they can learn about the end times, about Daniel, and about the Book of Revelation.
That's
right. You've got that in there, and we have 8 charts in there. And there's so much that they can learn, and you know, all the scriptures are in there, and everything is backed up by scripture, by 2 or 3 scriptures. So everything. So you can take it, and you can open up your Bible, and you can just take one feast at a time, and just go through it and study it, and then you'll begin to understand that the things that we celebrate are pagan, just like Antiochus. They're pagan things, and it's not of God. And so we're being disobedient when we celebrate pagan holidays. And it says even in the Torah, we read this a few in the beginning in Genesis, where they were looking for other gods to worship.
That's right.
Well, the church is worshiping other gods mm-hmm. because they're not worshiping the true God when they are celebrating other things that are not in the Bible.
That's right.
And we shouldn't we be doing what Jesus did? Well, over here in John chapter 10, it talks about Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
So we can know that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. It says over here, it says in verse 22 of chapter 10, it says, and it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication.
So
that's
Hanukkah. So Hanukkah means dedication,
and
doesn't it?
And the Bible clarifies this, and it says it was
in the winter. Hallelujah.
Well, this is the only one that comes in the winter. So we can't try to say it's another feast. No, it's the only one that came in the winter, and they call it a feast.
A feast.
They called it a feast.
That's
it says,
right.
And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. So this was Hanukkah, and Jesus walked in the temple on Solomon's porch.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and ye believe not.
Yeah.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believed not, because ye are not of my sheep. I would say then, well, you know, if people don't want to believe this, are they really born again?
That's right.
Are they of his sheep? Mm. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
God still speaks, and we need to hear his mm-hmm. voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
It says any man, right?
Any man.
That's right.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all.
That's right.
And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Thank you, Lord.
I and my Father are one.
This is when the Jews got upset, right? Right here. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, this was in the Feast of Dedication. So
that's right.
Jesus walked into, if you can just picture this in your, Jesus walked into the temple, in this temple of Solomon's porch at the Feast of Dedication.
Yes.
And he tells them who he is.
That's right. And so they got mad when he said, I and my Father are one, because they knew this time. They knew the history behind Hanukkah, and they knew there was a man way back, a couple hundred years before this, that declared himself to be God. And then Jesus made this
time.
At the same time. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Well, Jesus revealed mm-hmm. to them that he's the true one. He's the true God, okay? And so they got mad. They wanted to stone him, you know?
See, at that time, the enemy was trying to take the glory.
That's right.
But Jesus said, he makes it quite clear, I and my Father are one.
And then in verse 32 says, when they took up stones to stone him, mm-hmm. Jesus answered them and said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And then the Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee, not but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself to be God. Okay, well, we know he is God. And so they got mad, and Jesus was trying to convey that when he said, I and my Father are one. They're inseparable, amen? I like it. And then verse 35 says, verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? This is over in Psalms 82, but I'm not going to get into all that. It doesn't mean they were gods, like we think about.
It's small g.
Small g. And then verse 35 says, if he called them gods, small g, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, whoa, shamanda leba, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God.
Capital S-O-N.
Capital S. And if I do the works of my Father, believe me not, look what he says here, believe me not, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
Awesome.
The miracles could not have been done without the Father, right?
That's right.
That's right. So this is what's all being revealed here. So it's interesting that Jesus, if you read all the Gospels, he picks certain times of the year to say certain things that clicked with the Jewish people because they knew their appointed times. And so this is one of the things. They know they honored Hanukkah every year for almost 200 years till Christ came and all that. And, you know, they kept honoring that. Well, then they realized that there's a man standing here that's claiming himself to be God. And so did Antiochus. He claimed himself to be God, but he wasn't God. And so, but Jesus showed them here. He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the works that I do. And they were of God, right?
And he made it clear who he was.
That's
God.
Right. My Father and I are one.
Are one.
Totally. And they are. You can't have one.
He said, the Father is in me and I in him.
That's right.
So powerful.
You know, I think about how people pray. People pray in Jesus' name. They pray Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But the Bible says you pray what? In what? To the Father. In whose name? In Jesus' name. Okay? So all three of the Godhead is involved. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is all involved when we make our prayers. So we just don't pray to one. We got to include them all, basically.
We have a Godhead.
We got to have a Godhead. We have to recognize that Godhead. So Lord, we thank you that we have you. Hallelujah. The Father, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
So, thank you, Lord.
So we pray the right way. We pray. We ask you. We ask you in Jesus' name. And then the Holy Ghost will reveal what needs to be said and done with all of that. So we talked about this. Interesting, isn't it? This is the common thread between Tabernacles and Hanukkah at this season that we're getting ready to come into. And so the Maccabees were incredible, you know. And so this all started on Kislev 25. And I got something here. I caught my eye here in my book that I wrote about this. Where do I want to start? Let's think about that. When Alexander the Great died, he conquered the world in 33 years.
He died at the age of 33.
And the interesting thing was he didn't give it to his posterity, to his children or anything. He gave it to the four generals that helped him conquer the world. Well, we have the north, the south, the east, and the west. Well, the only ones that God was interested in history, which we see in the book of Daniel, was what? The northerns, which were became the Seleucids, and the northern or the southern group, which were called the Ptolemies, which was Egypt. So the only two he was interested in was those two. And so they all came out of what kingdom to start with? The Grecian Empire. Very important. So when I thought about this, when I wrote this book years ago, these territories were called the North, the South, the East, and the West. However, for this study we're talking about now, we'll only be investigating the kings of the North and the kings of the South. That's all God wanted. But listen to this now. The Northern Kingdom was given to some man by the name of Seleucus, which was later called the Seleucids due to his general's name. His kingdom included Syria, Babylon, or the modern nations of Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Iran. Did you hear that? Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Iran. The northern kingdom was given to Ptolemy, which was Egypt. Now, this is why I said this. I still believe this after all these years. I believe that these four divisions of Greece will become four of the 10 nations of the false Messiah's confederation during Jacob's trouble that will be established. You know what they are? Here they are. Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. And we have to figure out who the other three are. But these four will be there. All what, from what? From the book of Daniel. All that's from the book of Daniel, showing us these things, what's going to happen. And so
it's all in that area, all
and it's a history.
Israel.
Daniel's got a lot of history in there that some people don't understand. But if you study all the kings he talked about, that God talked about, you can find out who they are in history. And so that's all going to come to pass, exactly the way God said. And so some of these nations now, do they have a different name today? No. Turkey's still Turkey, huh? Greece is still Greece, huh? Syria is still Syria, and Egypt is still Egypt. Amen? So here we are. He's putting it all together to help you understand this thing. So we don't get off on some ditch and what somebody's saying or whatever, and it's not according to the Word of God. So I listen to some of these prophecy teachers from time to time on the TV and all that, and some of the things they say, I get a stabbing right here in the middle of my chest. Then I say, that can't possibly be true, okay? Because why? It's not. They got to line it up with the Word of God and nothing else. And so Hanukkah is so important. It's so important. Why? It's the conception of our Messiah. That's what it's all about. It's about the conception of our Messiah.
Without the conception, God used, yeah, no birth, right?
That's right. So with all the war and everything for those 3 years and 70 days to take that all back, that was all there. But the end of all of it was to show us there's going to be a conception of the Messiah that was going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords one day in the future. It's all there.
Glory to God.
And He is. To me, He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen?
Yes, he is.
But now the world don't recognize that yet, but he will. I guess that's when the translators wrote the King James Bible, when they called him the Lord of Lords. The first Lord's L is capitalized. The second one's a small L. He's going to be Lord over all the other little lords that come along, the little gods. But when it happens, then he's going to be Lord of Lords over everything. Aren't you glad? He'll be in charge.
King and King of Kings.
That's right. King of Kings. Same way. First Kings is capital K. The second one is a small K. So it's amazing what we see with all of it and what God's put into this. And so we can't cover all this today, but we're going to. The interesting thing, though, I was thinking about these. If you study the book of Daniel, Antiochus Epiphanes was the eighth king that came out of the Seleucid Empire, that came out of the Grecian Empire. Very key for us to understand Revelation chapter 7. If we don't understand this, then we're going to miss out. And after that eighth king came, Seleucid, we don't see anything God mentioned in the book of Daniel about any other kings that came. And that Seleucid Empire was around for about another 150 years. So there was only one king. He brought it all up to that one king that was going to come, who was what? A picture, a pattern of the false Messiah that was going to come. So it's all right there for us to understand the depth of it. So he was warning us way back then. Hallelujah. Pastor Donna, right?
Glory to God.
So the eighth king is very important. We have to understand that. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
So what else do you have there, Pastor Gene?
Well, I was just thinking about as we see in Daniel chapter 9 and all, and even chapter 8. You know, I've heard people say, well, there's nothing in the first covenant at all about Hanukkah. But that's not true. If you read Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 through 14, you can see the parallels to Hanukkah and how it was going to be put in place. And there were several things that happened during Hanukkah. The daily sacrifices were cut off, it told us there in Daniel 8:11 through 14. And the other thing is mentioned the transgression of desolation. That's mentioned in several verses, but it's also in Daniel 8, 9, 11, all through our Bible. And the third thing, the sanctuary was to be trodden underfoot. All right? That was all mentioned, many verses on that. And it's also in Daniel 8, 13. And the last thing is the host to be trodden down underfoot, as it says in Daniel 8, 13. However, God only uses two of these subjects to bring out his central truth in these verses. The daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation. Those are the two things that he was trying to bring out. With these two events beginning at two different times, God reveals the beginning of a time which would be later 3 years and 2 months and 10 days, called Hanukkah. It's all revealed over there in Daniel chapter 8. I'm going to go there, Pastor Don. Let's just read a couple of verses in that and just see what the Lord shows all the listeners here today as they listen real close to what the Word of God is going to tell us. I should have had my Bible turned there, but I didn't. But I'm flashing through the pages right now. Here we go. Daniel chapter 8. This is where we just started right here. All right. Now, just prior to what we were talking about in Daniel chapter 8, 11, shows you these four major kingdoms that are going to come. And we know that the fourth one is going to be the worst one of all of them. And where would I want to go? I want to just go down to where we see about the Grecian king. Daniel had this vision. I'm going to start at 8:1. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. This is talking about the Medes and the Persians. This is what this is prophetic about. I saw the ram pushing eastward, westward, and northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat, this is Greece now, came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Who was the notable horn? It was Alexander the Great. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which he had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come up close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, that means rage, against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. This is talking about Alexander the Great, and how he took over the Medes and the Persians. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. This is talking about who? Alexander the Great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. That was Alexander the Great. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. This is Antiochus Epiphanes now, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, which has got to be Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven and cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped unto them, talking about the people of Israel. Yea, he magnified himself even in the magnified himself even to the prince of the host. Hallelujah. And by him the daily sacrifice, this is key, was taken away, and the place of a sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice. This has been mentioned twice now. By reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one, speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long, shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? This is the abomination of desolation that was going to be set up, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Talking about this time with Hanukkah and about Hanukkah. And it came to pass when even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me the appearance of a man. And we see what he tells him about till the time of the end. All about this. Verse 21 of this chapter says, and the rough goat is the king of Greece. He's explained who they are. And the great horn that's between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are even come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall what? Stand up. Who is this? I don't know who this is. Hallelujah. Antiochus. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, which is Israel. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Now this peace is not shalom we're talking about all the time. It's another word for peace. It just means security or safety. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Therefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And Daniel says he fainted because he didn't understand this. So what was mentioned here, I think we need to talk about this for a few minutes here, is about these 2,300 days. And in verse 14 it says, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. Days here in Hebrew means evenings and mornings. Okay, so what do we have to do? He says there was 2,300 evenings and mornings. He's talking about the sacrifices that were going to be not performed during this period of time. Well, it turns out if you divide this by two, because there's two a day, it's a period of 1,150 days. And so we can figure all this out, and we can see that it turns out that the sacrifices were going to be shut off. And you can prove here with Daniel, and I've been studying some things with Josephus, that was actually a period of 3 years and 70 days. So if you go from Kislev 25 on the Jewish calendar, and you back up 70 days on any count, any year, you're going to come to the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. How about that, Pastor Donna? 70 days.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. So God's showing us something. He's showing us when all this devastation came, and thank God for Maccabees and his family that they stood up against it for 3 years and 70 days, and they broke the power of Antiochus and that group, and they rededicated the temple and all that God did with all that. What an incredible event, showing you and I that no matter what happens, God is in charge. He will bring it to a conclusion the right way, but he's looking for some people that are bold enough to stand in the gap, pray, and do what needs to be done to bring this to pass. And so he took those few men and conquered that kingdom. The Seleucids was a huge empire, and he slew a lot of people, the Maccabees did, but they won the battle because God was on their side, and they rededicated the temple.
And so all this is in your book.
It's all in the book.
So all they need to do is get the book.
Get the book.
It's worth twice of what we're asking for.
Right. So anyway, it's an awesome. So Hanukkah is a very important time, I believe, for the church. It's not an Israeli thing. It's for the church as well.
It will open people's eyes.
It sure will.
This will open your eyes to say, gee, how can I have missed so much?
That's right.
Well, how can I not know this?
That's right.
But you will know. You'll know the truth. The Bible says, the King James Bible says the truth will make you free.
You know, I thought about
this. Open your eyes.
You know, Daniel, this was all revealed to Daniel. Listen to this. 408 years before the desolation of Antiochus.
Wow.
That prophetic word came 408 years before all the damage came.
God always forewarns. He always tells us, doesn't he?
He doesn't do anything until he tells the prophets first, right?
That's right.
It's incredible. So maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more next week about some other things we could talk about Hanukkah. But the main thing we've talked about here is the importance of dedication, and that God has two meetings called dedication. Tabernacles in 2 Chronicles with Solomon with the first temple, and then the temple was rededicated again in Antiochus' day, what he tried to do. And
we need to keep our eye on Israel, because there's going to be a third. There's going to be a third temple.
Oh yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
That's right.
Well, so, and our president even talks about it.
That's right.
Even talking about moving
the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv
to Jerusalem.
To Jerusalem, and he's thinking about it. Some things are underway right now. We'll find out as the days go by, and that's where it should be. We should be in Jerusalem, not in Tel Aviv.
And that's why we should be praying. We got to pray for our president, and
because
you know these things are kind of fall in place, whether we do anything about it or not. But I want to be on God's side, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing. From 12 noon until 1 o'clock, also on the internet, WCNO, and you can give us a phone call. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night at 7 p.m., and also Sunday morning at 11. So come worship God with us, because the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. That's in Revelation 19, the end of verse 10. Amen. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So we want to remind you that every word in this Bible is true. And we can be shown things that seem to be hidden to most people, but it's a sowed down underneath everything. Even when we take communion, there's a communion underneath the communion. So God will fulfill everything. So every word is important. Like that word days I just talked about in that verse. Well, in Hebrew, that means mornings and evenings. So that 2,300 days couldn't be 20. It's 2,300 days, but it was really what? It's talking about the evening and morning sacrifices. And so it was 1,150 sacrifices that were failed to be done before God. And so it's all there. But we have to look at it through our Jewish glasses and understand some things that we've never known before. And I thank God all the time. God, I thank you so much that you got me interested in this back in 1988. And I pursued it. I went after it. And I love the prophetic word. And most of the Bible is prophetic in so many areas. And so we're honored to be here with you. We trust that you got something out of this. Put it in your heart. Think about your dedication at this time of the year. Are you really dedicated? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or are you doing what you want to do? So we just release the time, and we thank you for that, Father God. Touch everyone that listened here today. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for it. And so as we close this week, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.